You are listening to the Gable Media Continuing Education podcast feed, the most entertaining and convenient way for AEC professionals to get continuing education credits, including AIA-approved courses. As a Gable member, just listen and follow the link in the show notes to take a brief quiz and obtain your credit today. Enjoy.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today, we welcome Courtney Shipley, founder and chief planologist at Retirement Planology, a consulting firm specializing in corporate-sponsored retirement plans with extensive experience in investment analysis, plan design, and employee education. Courtney helps businesses leverage their retirement plans to achieve their goals. She is president of the Retirement Advisor Council and has been recognized for her outstanding contributions to the retirement industry for several years with several honors and several awards. Courtney Shipley, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so excited to be here.
Great to have you here. I would love to start with your origin story. We're going to talk about retirement plans. I know that many of our listeners own their own firms. Finance and the whole idea of retirement is sort of scary to them. They don't really know what to do or how to do it. So I'd love to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. But before we jump into that conversation, I want to know more about you, Courtney. When did you discover your passion for what you do today, and who or what inspired you to get started?
Love it. Well, I came out of college with a very useful degree in music performance, and I did not want to live in my parents' basement. I needed to be gainfully employed. And actually, I got a job out of college with an insurance company. And in addition to car and home insurance, we sold 403B plans. And so it was mostly for school teachers. And I thought, you know, I really like the retirement side of this. I really like the investing. There was such a wide variety of skills that I got to use, from like the analysis side of things to just making sense of some really complicated things for people who don't deal in that financial world all day long. And it felt like a really good place to stay. So as time went on, I popped jobs from one place to the next, working for a brokerage firm. I worked for one of the largest record keepers in the country for a while. Through a series of weird bad bosses, we'll just say, I ended up starting my own firm back around 2010 and really haven't looked back since. So yeah, that's how I got to where I am today. But as far as like what makes me passionate about this, I think that everybody should have the luxury of deciding how they spend their time later in life. It's like one thing that everyone can get on board with, right? Is the idea of financial independence, of being able to make your own paycheck someday. And it's all about how do we craft that plan to get there? And everybody's different. So every company is different as well in how they treat their benefits and their retirement plan. So I really enjoy it from that aspect.
How did the idea of going online and creating Retirement Planology come about?
I had a friend who said that they were a salesologist. And I was like, oh, that's good. I like that. We're Retirement Planology, because it's half art, half science. Like that makes the study of, right? And that's where that name came from.
Yeah. We are talking to thousands of small firm business owners, right? They're architects.
My people.
Most architects who are small firms, who start their own firms, usually don't know anything about business, because they weren't trained in business in architecture school, but they all want to have their own firms, right? And so now they're entrepreneurs. Now they are in business. And you're also talking to a group of people who often think they're going to work forever. They're going to work until they die, right? And many of them think, I'm never going to retire, so I don't need to worry about that. So how do you start, right? What should we do? Let's say we're talking to firms that have 5 to 10 employees, right? Let's just use that as our base. And they don't have any sense of retirement plan, right? They might have an IRA on their personal side, but they don't have anything put together for their own business to help them beyond the IRA, individual retirement account, for anybody who doesn't know. And how do they also benefit the employees in terms of retirement? And then we can continue that conversation of how that applies to attracting a talent and retaining talent, because a lot of people are struggling with that as well. So where do they start?
Okay, let's look big picture first. If you're the owner of a small business, then how are you going to get to retirement? And you hit on something that said, maybe some people don't want to.
Right.
And I think that's totally fine. But we do have to think about the fact that your business is an asset. You could sell it someday if you wanted to. And that could be exchanged for a chunk of money that you then create your own paycheck from because you no longer have the business. So that's one asset that you have. There could be other ways that you save for retirement as well to create that paycheck someday. Social Security, of course, is one part of every American's retirement plan. But where does the rest come from? Because Social Security is not enough to live on by itself. It's usually 20 to 40% of a person's working income.
20 to 40%. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's going to depend on what tax bracket you're in and how much you made throughout your working career and things along those lines, and whether or not you claim on your spouse. But yes, it's not going to probably be enough to live on the way that you want to live. Let's put it that way. So you'll need something else. That something else could be what you mentioned before, an individual retirement account or some sort of like brokerage account or some sort of savings thing. Maybe you've got rental income. I don't know. But you've got to have some sort of plan in place. So start thinking about that. That's number one. And some people won't sell their business. They'll just stop working one day because they don't feel like doing it anymore.
Right.
So where does the rest come from? And from a tax efficiency standpoint, as well as a way to get a bunch of money put away for what's tagged for retirement for someday, for in the future, that's where the work-sponsored retirement plan comes in. Now, there's several different types that can be employed. So for the small business, I would say the first thing you want to think about as the owner is how much do you want to put away for yourself, and or are your employees asking to have a retirement plan that they can save into? And if so, how much do they want to save? Because there are easy plans to set up, like the Simple IRA. There's a reason that the acronym is Simple, because it is easy to set up. And then there's where you start to move into the 401k land. Your accountant is also a very good resource for these types of conversations if you're starting one for the first time. There's also the SEP IRA as well. So your accountant is going to be probably a very good starting point for trying to sort out what makes the most sense. But I will say that with the SEP, what you give yourself, you have to give your employees as well. Whereas with the Simple, you have some flexibility about the employer contribution and the employee can contribute their own money. And then you start moving into the 401k plan, which has the most administration, the most red tape, but also the highest limits. So for example, this year, we are in the year 2024. I'm not sure when this episode will air, but the maximum contribution that somebody could put in would be $23,000. And if they're over the age of 50 or turning 50 this year, they can put an additional $7,500 in on top of that. So $30,500. So that's a lot of money to be able to set aside.
Your partial access code is P. Your partial access code is P.
Also, you want to think about profitability of your business. And you mentioned before about recruiting and retention.
Right.
Getting good employees is hard. Keeping good employees is hard too.
Yeah.
And so if you know that your people are your star players and you want them to have a bit of like a feeling of ownership, but not ownership of the business, maybe profit sharing is the way to go. And so they get a portion of, you know, how well the business does. And a very tax efficient way to transfer that to them is by putting it into a retirement plan, into the 401k. So you can do a profit sharing contribution if the business does well. You could do a matching contribution from the business as well. You could just say, no, we're just going to let employees put their own money in and see how it goes. That's all right too. So there's different ways to get money into the plan, some of which that are funded by the company, the rest would be by the employee. But as the owner, if you're trying to max everything out, then between what you put in as the employee and what you put in as the company, then you could be socking away up to $69,000 in a retirement plan in 2024. And so the tax advantages there are kind of obvious. Money you didn't have to pay taxes on. You didn't have to pay the payroll taxes on either. So I would say starting point, just kind of rewind what we talked about here. starting point is your accountant and your profitability statement. What the balance sheet looks like, right? And then from there, try to figure out, what do you as the owner want to put away? What are your employees asking for? Or what would they appreciate? That's going to help determine the type of plan. And once you get the plan in place, then we can start talking about, what do you want the plan to do for you? Do you want to be able to put money away from the profit sharing aspect, et cetera?
Yeah. You talked a little bit about retention and attraction, you know, finding employees. And something that keeps coming up on this podcast, talking with different people and different entities and different subjects, is the difference of generations. Mm-hmm. That my generation, I'm 54, thinks differently. We have different priorities, different ways that we've come up through the profession. Many of my peers really feel like they're going to work forever, that they want to work forever.
Yep.
I see this next generation, very entrepreneurial, very tech savvy, very focused on work-life balance. And many of them don't want to work forever. They want to work to the point where they can have more freedom and more flexibility and financial independence, maybe even retire earlier than typical my generation would retire. And so this is a perfect opportunity for architects to go even deeper in retirement, create a retirement plan that you're talking about, right? Figure out what a plan would be that could attract those young employees who do want to work hard and want to invest money and help contribute to that plan, but then have a goal, right? That this firm is going to help you reach your goals, reach that financial independence, that retirement early potentially, and potentially attract a lot of people. What do you think about that generational gap?
Yeah, I think that the retirement plan is good for everybody for different reasons. So when you are explaining the benefit that you have, the important thing is to focus on what's most relevant to those generations. So like you said, is it about financial independence? Is it about, hey, you're staring down retirement and you might want to sock some more money away? Is it more like, this is the rainy day fund? So all of those things come into play when you're thinking about the types of employees that you're hiring and at what age. I will say that expectations for millennial and younger are, what do you mean you don't have a 401k?
Right.
My dad told me I was supposed to enroll. I've heard that one a lot. I was like, oh, that's great. I'm glad your parents are lecturing you on this. This is awesome. So I would say that you have to look at your firm compared to others in the area that you might be trying to recruit against. Just kind of make sure your benefits are in alignment or better than some of your competition. Of course, we're all budget constrained at this size business, but I don't know a business that isn't budget constrained, honestly. So it's something to give thought to, but it's also something to give thought about how you explain it when they are hired or when you are in that recruiting situation.
Yeah, I could see it being a major differentiator for small firms that when a potential employee comes to you and you share the salary, you share the days off, but you also share this plan that you've created for your employees that helps them achieve their goals in their future, right? That this is a place where they can come and they can work hard and become part of this firm and retire wealthy.
And let's take that one step further. You know, you're talking about the benefits and you're talking about the compensation. Let's just call that the total compensation statement, because especially in situations where you have younger folks, you really have to spell it out for them. You know, you are getting this much from us in the way of compensation. We are paying this much towards your health insurance, which is worth X dollars to you. We are also providing this 401k plan with a 4% match or whatever it is. So being able to really drill that down so that if they are comparing other offers, that you've beat them to the punch and said, this is how much the total compensation is if you work here, in addition to being an awesome place to work.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it all matters, especially now when you're trying to attract the best employees.
It does.
The culture matters, the type of work that you do, your brand matters, but so does that potential retirement plan. I find that really interesting. I never really thought about that until we started having this conversation, that the retirement plan could be boring.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It could just be, oh, yeah, we offer a retirement plan. Sure, you can contribute, we contribute, and you make some money. But if you actually go one step further and present it in a way that this is going to help you achieve your dreams, that's going to attract people. That's going to make people see you differently than other firms. Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Architects, listen up. Is something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Regardless if you have a clinical mental health issue like depression or anxiety, or if you're just a human who lives in this world and is going through a hard time, therapy can give you the tools to approach your life in a very different way. I know this community of small firm architects very well, and I see many of you struggling. That's why I reached out to this episode's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote. And by filling out just a few questions, BetterHelp can match you with a professional therapist in as little as a few days. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist. There's a link in the show notes. It's betterhelp.com/architect. Just use that link, betterhelp.com/architect. Clicking that link helps support this podcast, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. So you can connect with a therapist and see if it helps you. If you need someone to talk to, consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Click the link in the show notes or visit betterhelp.com/architect. That's betterhelp.com/architect. Thank you to BetterHelp for supporting this podcast and for supporting our community of small firm architects.
Your partial access code is 0. Your partial access code is 0.
ARCAT's Spec Wizard is the tool that will help you save time writing specifications. Going through the manufacturer's specification line by line to find the right product leads to frustration and errors, and that's where Spec Wizard comes in. It's a free, patented tool that allows you to select products and options error-free and generate a three-part specification in minutes. Go to ARCAT.com, that's ARCAT.com, and try Spec Wizard today. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community.
Having the conversation about how, you know, financial wellness is really built by companies, because to start with, the basic building block of anyone's financial life is their paycheck. That's just one piece of it. Then there's the what happens if. So that's your health insurance, your disability, your life insurance, all of those things. And then you have the what if you don't want to work forever? What if there is a day where your health isn't where you want it to be and you need to take things part-time or you need to just stop working altogether? Then this is your paycheck for the future too. And so we as a company care enough about you and all aspects of your life to be providing all of these things for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Or your dream is at 40, you want to go travel the world.
Yeah.
Right. And you come here, you start working when you're 25. And by the time you're 40, if you have invested properly and you've done other things correctly in your life, you could do that. It's an interesting concept. What do you think are some common mismatches that employers often make? What are some of the mistakes they make when they're talking about retirement plans?
I would say not emphasizing how great the plan is. Most of the plans these days come with an excellent website with planning tools. If they're our client and they come with us to have those financial wellness conversations that you as the business owner definitely don't want to be having with your employees, but a great resource to be sending them to if they are struggling in some aspect or just have questions. I would say that underselling the match and the cost, what the benefit is to the employee, you know, you're getting an additional X dollars every year from us in a company match, just not getting enough credit for the plan that they're offering. And that's probably the number one mistake that they're making.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that there's several ways to put together a plan, the IRA, the simple IRA, the 401k, the SEP or the SEP. Can you just go through each one of those at a really basic high level? What the difference is for those?
Yeah. So, to start off with, the IRA is an individual retirement account. It is not sponsored by a company. There are some states that mandate small businesses, but usually, you know, 25 or less employees sometimes are exempt. So you need to check your state, but they will say you have to set up a retirement plan for your employees. You can use the state IRA plan. So the limit for 2024 is $7,000 for IRAs. It's not a ton of money to be able to put away for retirement, but it's still meaningful. The next up would be the SEP IRA. Now, the SEP IRA is a little tricky, and this is where you have to talk to your accountant. We don't do these, so I'll just give you the high level. But basically, what you are putting away, the percentage of your income you're putting away, you can put up to, like, I think it's 25%, but the cap is $69,000. But whatever you do for yourself as the owner, you have to do for everybody. So everybody, you know, would get a 7% contribution to their SEP, or everybody would get a 3% contribution to the SEP. So there's no ability for the employee to put their own money in there.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So that's why it can be okay if you're a really small firm or you're like a family enterprise.
Right. Yeah.
But in some cases, it's not the best usage, but it just depends. So that's why I say talk to your accountant. Then you move into the simple IRA, which is just like a giant IRA, but it also requires an employer either matching or just regular contribution, whether or not anybody is contributing. The maximum amount on that is $16,000 in 2024 for how much a person can put into the plan. So that's why I said sometimes it's good to just take the temperature of what your employees are asking for. Oh, you want a retirement plan. What would you save in that plan? Like, how much would you save in the plan over the course of, you know, a year? What's a monthly contribution you would make? And then you can kind of gauge, you know, is the simple IRA just an easy place to start? As the employer, you either have to match them up to 3% of their pay, or you have to give them 2% of their pay into the plan, the equivalent of that, as the employer contribution. So check the IRS website. Actually, it's really good, lays out everything about the simple. Kudos to the IRS for having an easy-to-read website on that one. All right. So if your employees are trying to save more than $16,000, or you as the owner are trying to max out, that's when you start moving into the 401k space. And the other thing about 401k is that, again, that's just a tax code. I don't know if everybody knows that, but it's stupidest like branding and marketing of all time. We should call it like awesome retirement plan. And then people would want to use it. But 401k, what is that? Anyway, I digress. With 401k, you get a few more privileges, but you have to jump through some more hoops. So there's a tax filing that has to happen. There's a bunch of notices you have to send out to everybody and all the employees. You will have fiduciary responsibility for the plan. You're going to have to choose the investments that go in there, hire an advisor like us to do that kind of stuff for you. So there's more that goes along with it, but you also can do things like put eligibility brackets around it. So a person has to work there for 6 months before they're allowed to be eligible for the plan or something along those lines. It could be up to a year. You can have age limits on it too. Age 21, I think, is the oldest. But you can then have the ability for the employee to save up to $23,000 of their own money, or $30,500 if they're over that catch-up age of 50. But the other thing as the employer is you can choose if you want to match. You can choose if you want to just give everybody something into the plan as a non-elective contribution. You can choose to do a profit sharing contribution that you wait on until the end of the year to figure out if you're profitable or not. You actually want to make that. So you get a lot more flexibility between what an employee puts in and what the employer puts in on their behalf. That cannot exceed that $69,000 limit. So for an owner who's like, I want to put as much as possible into my own account, then you could really fill it up. So that's like step one, I guess.
Yeah, perfect.
The graduate level of that is that you can do some fancy things with profit sharing where you're putting everybody into their own group and you are doing what's called cross testing. There's these non-discrimination tests that the IRS requires every year. Again, you get more flexibility, but you have a lot more red tape to jump through. The thing about it is that you could, as the owner, get yourself up to the limit without having to give everybody else as much if there's a difference in wages and in age group. So that's all I'll say about that. But again, lots of flexibility, but you do have lots of rules you have to follow.
Right, right. That was great. Excellent. Thank you.
Your partial access code is I. Your partial access code is I.
What if you're a sole practitioner? One person, sole practitioner. Are you stuck with an IRA or can you do these other programs as well?
No, you can do these other programs as well. Yep. I would say look at the SEP first. It's probably the easiest.
Right. Okay, great. You said services. So at some point, you want to have somebody help you do this, right? It gets complicated. You start talking about the 401k and how complicated that is. There's some hoops to jump through. Mm-hmm. What would it look like to work with somebody like you to help them through this process?
Yep. So the way that we work with clients is we are helping them to design and then manage the plan going forward. As I mentioned before, with 401k, you've got all those notices and tax filings and et cetera, things that you need to do. You've got all of those different options about how you set the plan up, who gets to be eligible for it and when. And then you've got to have some service providers. You need your record keeper to hold on to the money and print the statements and have a website for people to access. You are going to need someone to be the document administrator for the plan. That could be the record keeper, it could be a separate party. They're going to keep you in compliance with IRS rules. And then you need somebody to select the investments in the plan and then help the employees. And so that's our job. We act as a quarterback for all those moving parts I just mentioned. We're the subject matter experts so that, you know, our clients don't have to be. It's honestly, most of our clients have this other thing they do, which is run another business.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So they'd rather spend their time on that.
You know, I could imagine that that makes it much easier to delegate all of that work out to somebody who's dedicated to that.
Yeah.
So you can just do your architecture and run your business and not worry about that, but still have all the benefits of having a really successful retirement plan.
Yeah. Get some help. It's a good idea.
Do you also advise on investment?
Yes. So the investments that go into the plan, there's going to be a menu for people to choose from. The 401k plan is basically like a big group trust. Everybody has their own account, but everybody's picking from the same investment menu. So you've got to have some criteria about what types of investments go in there. When are they kicked out, or why are they allowed to stay? Are they up to snuff, if you will? There's also some art and science in how you design that menu. Because if you think about it, you could have someone who's starting their career, 21, and somebody who's getting ready to retire, or maybe they're past retirement, like you said before, they just, you know, they're not sure how long they want to work. They're 69. And all of those people have to use the same plan. So it has to be vanilla enough for the masses, yet robust enough that anybody at any stage in their career can use the building blocks that are in there to make a portfolio to get them to retirement. So yes, that's the investing side of things.
Yeah, that's an important piece of it as well. As we wrap up here, Courtney, what would you say is the one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I would say it is to really choose your subject matter experts wisely and lean on them hard.
Yeah.
In all aspects of the business.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up thinking that you have to do everything, because when you do the math, it's often just better to outsource it and have your time back to spend it where you need to be, which is being the leader, establishing the strategic direction of the business, delivering the work, doing all those other things. You wear a million hats, so get rid of some of them.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree with you. Her name is Courtney Shipley. The company is Retirement Planology. Planology, retirementplanology.com is the website. You can learn more at retirementplanology.com/learn more. And you could learn all about what they do there. Courtney, thank you for sharing your knowledge here today at Entre Architect Podcast.
Thanks for letting me come on, Mark. I appreciate it.
If you liked this episode of Entre Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entre Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entre Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entre Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community.
you can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. And you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, 2 a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember three words: love, learn, share. Have a great day.